Tom and Curly Show. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973, 98973. State Roofing text line. All are welcome. One is chosen from the many to be letter of the day. Diving into the day! Alrighty. It was a game that was postponed, but then rescheduled. It was going to be Memorial Stadium there in Seattle, Tom. That was going to be East Lake High School taking on Rainier Beach. And the kids said, hey, let's do this. Since it's going to be a game that's going to be occurring just before September 11th, let's dress in red, white, and blue. That'd be kind of cool. So they were going to be there. So it wasn't a home game for either team. Rainier Beach would be on this one side of the stadium. East Lake High School would be on the other. The kids would be wearing red, white, and blue. Someone got wind of it that is in administration, apparently not the principals, but someone else. And they said that's a bad idea. Told them, don't do that. It could be misinterpreted, or what were the words that were used? Misunderstood, or could offend, or something like that. What was the word?
I know tomorrow is 9/11, and I understand the sacrifice and values our flag represents, but I think they just did not want to unintentionally cause offense to some who see it differently. That's from the principal after the fact.
Oh, okay.
After the decision was made, when there was an uproar about, what's going on here? What are you talking about? That was the principal's effort at explaining what happened. Did not want to unintentionally cause offense to some who see it differently.
See what differently?
Well, I parsed that sentence, and when you look at it closely, it references the flag.
Oh.
Our flag represents, and I think they just did not want to unintentionally cause offense to some who see it, I assume, the flag, differently.
Oh. Oh, I see. So that, wow. Okay. There were the kids that wanted to wear the red, white, and blue in honor of September 11th weren't allowed because someone might see the flag as different.
Yes.
Well, and just to be clear, I think another principal said something to the effect of it wasn't preventing any kid from wearing these clothes because they wouldn't be deemed offensive. It was just the sheen of legitimacy put on it by the school, right? Like it actually being a sanctioned event. So it could a kid still could wear the red, white, and blue, but that the school wasn't making it a formal thing.
I see. And then the superintendent sent out a letter. Talking about it the past weekend, we recognize September 11th, 24 hours of her United States military veterans, New York police, firemen. All these people have been contacting East Lake High School saying how upset they were that they decided not to honor. This superintendent says, I was teaching fourth grade, and then talks about how upsetting it was to him when driving into school September 11th, 20 years ago, and then goes on to say that, you know, last part, we have a value of listening to all of our voices. We hope that we can continue to hear one another, even as we work through difficulty and disagreement and concern. Discourse is how we build awareness and development and understanding. Teaching our students to engage in civil discourse will allow them to be engaged, informed citizens. I commit to doing my part as a citizen and professional. Respectfully, John Holman, superintendent. So not really addressing the fact that the kids wanted to wear this. The school could have sanctioned it, but then someone thought, well, I guess Rainier Beach, being what a more of my minority school, that they could be upset by an American flag. Huh, that's interesting. Well, that's a sad state. Maybe that's the bigotry of low expectations, perhaps, that the people on the other side would see the American flag as something bad. I guess, right, because we hear constantly from the left, which dominate high school and college classrooms, that the flag triggers people because the flag is used by white supremacists. And they wrap themselves in it, and therefore the flag is sort of, in a way, been besmirched by people that are on the hard right that are white supremacists. So then, therefore, now the flag is considered to be something that is soiled in a way. So that's why somebody on the left might not want anyone to wear anything that would resemble a flag, because it would upset people there on the other side of the football field. That could possibly be the thinking.
Yeah, possibly be. Okay, good. I'm glad you put the pause, because that's all speculation. everything has been kept vague enough from the official point of view that no one knows for sure. And so a number of parents, Jason Rance has an article that he's heard from various parents and students speculating that that's it. Interestingly enough, we haven't heard anyone from Rainier Beach weighing in. It would be interesting to get their response. Their response could be, this is ridiculous, out of concern for us. You think you shouldn't wear red, white, and blue? Or
how
they might
insulting.
Say, well, actually, we might, concur, saying, well, thank you for being sensitive, but that's too sensitive or something. Here, yeah. John, you skipped over, I think, the key paragraph. While there was no ill, this is from the superintendent. Mm-hmm. While there was no ill intent behind the decision for Eastlake High School to change their plan for a themed event, we acknowledge that the impact on many has spurred strong emotions. As we move forward, we will review the processes used to make such determinations and ensure appropriate protocols are in place for similar decisions to be made in the future. You know what that is? That's the Facebook Elite Club.
Oh.
I think that's what they're saying is, listen, this is a decision that had enough impact in the community that we should have vetted this better. Uh-huh. We shouldn't allow whatever this group of teachers or administrators that made decision, because it sounds like the principal and maybe the
know.
Assistant principal weren't even aware of it. They were then left to defend a decision that they weren't a part of, that now they're going to review that I think the processes involved are such that they realize, listen, if we're going to make the kind of decision like this that somehow could be interpreted as besmirching 9/11 memories, that's something we should kick upstairs. Yeah. And that's what I think, in effect, they're going to do in the future.
Since word possibly gets me a pass, I'll also add in there possibly the super white woke folks that are so hypersensitive to whether or not they're offending a black person go to such an extreme to actually, in effect, insult a black person by assuming that person will be affected by the American flag. That's sort of the sad state we're in, but I guess that's what happens. And the fact that Eastlake High School got a bunch of people calling in with death threats.
Yeah, that's
some other nonsense
side.
Today. Right. Yeah. So then the police had to show up there. I did look up Rainier Beach graduation YouTube 2021. And when the guy says, ladies and gentlemen, let us stand now for the national anthem, they didn't play our national anthem. They played the black anthem, Lift Every Voice.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Which was a very long song. I was surprised at how long it was, much longer than the national anthem. At the football game, did they have a flag? I assume that they have an American flag, as horrible as that that symbol represents this horrible country of ours. Did they do the national anthem before the football field, before the football game?
I assume
they did, and
yes,
hopefully nobody was deeply offended. What would have been really nice would be to call, like those kids, I'm sure they didn't think about this, but in hindsight, call the other team and say, hey, listen, for September 11th tomorrow, even though none of us, the kids, were around on this, we're all going to wear red, white, and blue. You wear red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
We'll all wear red, white, and blue, right?
Yeah.
That would
been
be great.
Unifying. Yeah. That's
right.
That's
plus, I would also extend and say, we would also like to honor your quarterback who last year, everybody loved this kid, Connor or something or other, who was shot and killed out in front of his house, and they still haven't found the shooter. So we would like to honor him as well, because he was an outstanding kid, great quarterback. He had 19 offers from schools. He got a scholarship to the UW, was supposed to play for them, and sitting in his car out in front of his house, someone drives by, shoots and kills him. They still don't know who it is. I mean, that would have been something involving the past, the present, some way to be able to allow these kids that feel they want to be activists in a way, you know, to express real emotions about real things that have really happened.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think Rainier Beach could have done that.
Yeah, that's fine.
That feels. But
why the other kids? I mean, any kid lost like that. But okay, listen. Yeah. This is if anything good comes out of this, they put the squash on those. That whatever the name of that association was that stopped the kids from wearing what they wanted to wear, right?
Well, it was I think it's just an internal, they call it like a leadership group. My guess is it's just probably like three or four teachers who volunteer to,
good enough,
you know, to kind of monitor things.
Put the squash on them. I just came up with that term, but the squash.
It's a very rural reference, John.
Thank you, Tom.
Good for you.
We're all just relieved that didn't. That's not what happened to that squirrel that you had to deal with.
I did not have to put a squash on him.
Thank you, yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. We've got a bunch of cuts from the events from September 11th. I saw George Bush speak, and he said...
For those too young to recall that clear September day, it is hard to describe the mix of feelings we experienced. There was horror at the scale. There was horror at the scale of destruction, and awe at the bravery and kindness that rose to meet it.
I thought the president of those that did speak was pretty good. I did have a problem with this. It sort of seemed he was warning that domestic threats as well.
And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within. There is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But in their disdainful pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit, and it is our continuing duty to confront them.
The day when international terrorism made its biggest historical mark, he then ties it to right now. We have as much concern, or there's a lot of similarity between domestic terrorists along with international terrorists.
And the domestic terrorists he's speaking of are?
Well, he didn't go into it, I don't think. I mean, the intelligence agencies have said that white supremacist groups and the far right are of concern in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but he didn't get that specific, and he doesn't need to. These are one of these kind of honorific speeches,
right,
that kind of warn in general. And I don't think he's trying to pick a political fight here. He's just sort of saying, yeah, listen, we need to be on guard for, you know, what happens from within as much as from without.
Okay. So, I mean, he's not, well, I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch considering the individuals that decided to fly those planes in to take those buildings down, and then a bunch of nutty right-wing lunatics.
Well, Timothy McVeigh is what he's looking at. I mean, that's what he's thinking. Timothy
right.
McVeigh.
That hated the government, damage. Right, and yeah. Decided he was going to do as much damage as he could to the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah,
that there are those terrorists as well. So he's not talking about January 6th. By the way, there's supposed to be a protest. Sure it'll be described
weekend?
As peaceful. It's coming up. Is it this weekend? They're putting the fences around the Capitol again. It's J6 is the name of the protest, and it's for January 6th. And they're protesting, I guess, the people that are being arrested or something, but they have... the police are moving in place, and they're going to put the barricades back up again. That might be this weekend, Tom.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know that we continue to all cower because of the maniacs that are on the right, and then those poor people that are just trying to have peaceful protests that are on the left that are destroying private property and killing police officers. Let's see, the dozens of Washington State troopers, they have sued, or they're going to sue Inslee, Tom. They've got a problem, and they have decided that they're going to sue. I think there's 90 of them that have decided to sign on to this because they have a problem with the religious exemption, and they just want to make sure that they get this thing to go to court, and it's probably, I guess, will be heard, but at no time will it save them because the deadline is coming up. Because by the time you get the first injection, then you have to wait 2 weeks to get your next injection.
Today's the last day to get it.
This is it, right.
Yeah,
and then they're trying to extend, I guess, it over, but they're going to be suing Governor Inslee that he's overreach on his emergency powers.
Yes, and this is, I mean, they've allowed for, I mean, the governor has allowed for medical and religious exemptions. And by the way, it's not 90 patrol officers, it's 53 patrol officers, and then there are a dozen corrections guys, some firefighters, and the state ferry system worker or two, so it adds up to 90.
I see.
And they're just trying to prevent that. This is different from what Joe Biden is doing with the OSHA interpretation. This is a state mandate for federal employees. This is, Inslee is not, You know, this is these are the state employees who are objecting to being forced. Most of the speculation I heard thought that this didn't have as strong a leg to, you know, for people to stand on legally. When it interferes with private businesses, that seems more problematic. But the mandate, especially for like a federal employee, if you're the president, or a state employee, if you're the governor, they think it's on solid ground, but who knows?
Yeah, you're right. Today is the last day that you get in there on that. And it will be interesting to see what happens in a couple of weeks. How many people decide that they are willing to give up their job because they don't want to get the vaccine, right?
Yeah. Yep. Be a big test.
A hospital in Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania has decided that they will let you work even if you haven't had the vaccine, if you had COVID. So this is a medical institution that is recognizing your own immune system. Congratulations to the medical community there in the Lehigh Valley, saying you either had the vaccine or you had COVID. You're both in the same category, which congratulations for those recognizing the power of your own immune system.
Of being sick.
We'll see if that happens. What's that?
Of getting sick. The power of having been sick.
Sick and then getting over it. We'll see if... I know that Fauci was asked about that. He said he was unaware and doesn't know if they're doing studies on it, which I find that hard to believe. But anyway, here's Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. All righty. Rachel Bell doesn't normally dig into woolly mammoth stories, but today she is she's trying to bring us
the back. Tom and Curly Show.
Stop that. Here, watch this. Ready? Here comes. There goes Rachel Bell. Here she comes. Michael Shoup Casino, proud to bring Rachel Bell back. And I didn't know you were into dinosaurs and stuff, or at least specifically woolly mammoths.
I don't think a woolly mammoth is a dinosaur, is it? It's just dinosaur adjacent.
Oh, okay. All right. It seems like something would be more dinosaur-ish, but okay.
It does, yeah. Okay. Well, this is a very Jurassic Park-style story. So some scientists and entrepreneurs announced this week that they are going to start a new company because they want to genetically resurrect the woolly mammoth. They call their company Colossal, and their goal is to create thousands of woolly mammoths, put them back in the Siberian tundra where they used to live thousands of years ago before they went extinct. And apparently this is going to save the world. So this is the idea of George Church. He's a biologist at Harvard Medical School, and he spent the last 8 years working on this, but this is the first time that they actually got big funding because they have this company. So they got $15 million. And the way they're going to do this is interesting. So they did find some woolly mammoth genomes in the fossils, but they can't recreate it just out of the DNA that they extract. So what they're doing is they're comparing that DNA to Asian elephant DNA because they have a lot in common. And then what they would do is add genes into the elephant DNA so that they can create like dense hair and thick fat for cold weather and like that big kind of Neanderthal brow that they have. Mm-hmm. And they want to create thousands in the next 2 years. So I think that this is very necessary, and I think it's the best thing that we could do with our time and money.
Yeah, what could go wrong, right?
Right. So it's actually very interesting how they plan to do this, because the original idea was that they would get these embryos and then they would plant them into elephants and then give birth. But for a variety of reasons, they're not going to do that. So what this guy is going to build, a great thing that we love a man doing, he's going to build a fake uterus. He's going to build an artificial mammoth uterus, and he's going to use stem cells to do this. And then it has to support a fetus for 2 years. That's how long it's pregnant for.
Right.
And they're 200 pounds when they're born. So he's going to make a pretty big uterus here.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, there are a lot of ethical issues that people are bringing up. The first one is, I don't know if you guys know this about elephants, but I learned a lot about elephants when I was covering the elephant story at the Woodland Park Zoo. If an elephant has a baby and it's a female, they never separate. They are buddies for life. And so there's a philosopher at the London School of Economics who's saying, well, if you just keep making all these babies without moms, who's going to take care of them? And it's kind of going to interrupt the social order of things. And then, you know, there's the question of, is this just going to interrupt the ecology? You know, like, they went extinct, so they don't really have a place here anymore. Are they going to start eating things that we need on Earth? You know, is it going to just disrupt our natural order?
So they really think this can happen? This just sounds like cockamamie to me. I just can't believe that they'll be able to do this. I mean, it just, it
a
sounds...
A lot of people agree with you.
Wait a minute. They, got 50, right? They have $15 million. And all they need to do is make a gigantic uterus. Rachel's already laid it out. So those of you that are keeping notes at home, you could do it as well. What do you mean cockamamie, Tom? Isn't the world crying for more woolly mammoths?
Hey, listen, I'm as big a fan of the woolly mammoth as the next guy. I just
that
think
is
that it
not
seems
true.
Impractical.
No. Jacob and Sean are far... When we have our big discussions about dinosaurs we want to see brought back, you are always mute on that. You never have an opinion.
I heard that you like the hairless mammoths, which are super weird looking.
Wow. Yuck.
Yeah, so weird.
Wait,
so now they're like trying to reverse engineer the reason why, because it does sound... ridiculous, and there's so many other things that we could fix in this world of $15 million. So they're like, no, wait, this is gonna be really good for the world, guys, hold on a minute. This isn't just me, like a seventh grader, being like, I'm gonna do the coolest thing. So what they say is that the Siberian tundra used to be grassland, and it was very helpful for that environment because it kept things from melting and eroding. They just say it was better for the earth, and today it's all moss. So they say if they bring back the woolly mammoths, just by the way they would function on that land naturally, the grasslands would come back, which is everybody's our greatest problem in the world today. then what is the other thing they said? Oh, and they were like, and if this works, then we can help other animals from not going extinct, and we can bring back extinct species, and then eventually we could use this on humans. Because if you think about it, why would these people invest $15 million if they weren't going to get anything back? And right. Just having a woolly mammoth is not really getting a return for money.
Mm. Does this end up being the slippery slope that people are always afraid of, that you start to mess around with those things and you start to bring other things back? And then we have a Jurassic Park, right, Tom?
Sure. I mean, that's exactly the concern. I mean, these are massive animals, even if this could happen. They're massive animals that need incredible kind of care and environment. And I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's been thought through very carefully. Maybe we should do it. You know, that group that's going to go to Mars for 50 years?
Yes.
Maybe we should have them try it up there on that planet and report back how successful that was up on Mars.
And then we would beat the Russians for building the biggest uterus on Mars.
Let the woolly mammoth fly the plane up there, or the spaceship up there. That'd be fine. One last story that you have that Tom might believe is going to happen.
Oh, we only had 1 minute left, guys, so I didn't know we were doing that.
All right, sorry. If you don't want to do it.
Woolly mammoths anymore.
That's all right.
I'm interested in a hairless mammoth. Never heard of that.
I think
it makes me think of, you know, the hairless cats, like the Mr. Bigglesworth situation.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with this is I do think that it is a slippery slope, because, you know, before I used to think, oh, you know, every generation has something new that's invented and some people don't like it. And I'm kind of one of those people. It's like, oh, we should never invented social media. And back in the day, it was like, cars are going to destroy society. Telephones are going to destroy society. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is bigger than that, because this is something that is messing with DNA and would actually really mess with, you know, how animals and birds and people and the environment all mix together. Like, doesn't this seem scarier than other things that were invented in the past?
I would feel comfortable in knowing Jeff Goldblum is somewhere involved in this project, and everything would be okay. That
he
would
didn't
be fine.
Survive oh, Jurassic Park.
Did he not? Did he die?
No.
No.
But I think he's actually playing the doctor who's inventing this. Maybe this is a fake story, and it's just Jeff Goldblum pretending
okay,
to be
well
the
doctor.
Okay.
Well, then there we went full circle. All right. Thanks, Arbel. Appreciate it from Makushu Casino. Thank you. End of outer space with woolly mammoths. We covered it all right there. Tracy Taylor is looking at traffic for us. All righty. Writing to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973, 98973. All are welcome.
By the way, I want to correct the record.
Yes, please. Please correct
the record. Jeff Goldblum did survive. He was severely injured, but survived.
Yes.
Unlike in the book, his character dies. He crops up in a couple of other Jurassic Park sequels.
No, I didn't want to correct you on the air, Tom, because but being a huge Jeff Goldblum.
Movies matter to me.
Yes. Jeff Goldblum matters.
But books matter more, and he died in the dang book.
Okay, Tom, it wasn't Jeff Goldblum in the book.
That's true.
Wrap your house in aluminum foil, and you'll save your house from burning, or at least it'll be cooked better, like a baked potato.
That's right. Just bring a stick of butter with
this
you.
I love this story. One foil wrapped around a house survives the Calder fire, and everything around it all burned. Is this Northern California? Where was this fire?
The Calder fire. I assume so.
If you have enough aluminum foil, you could wrap your entire house in it, and it stops the fire from burning it. And the other houses around the area did end up burning. So this might be the new thing, that when the fire's coming, you run outside and wrap your house up.
Yes, but it's not. You can't just go to the store and buy lots of rolls. This is a very specific kind of aluminum foil that works kind of like a blanket. You buy it in 200-foot rolls, 5-foot wide for $687. A roll.
Right.
And it works temporarily. So the best thing about this is, and I find this fascinating since it's happening more and more on the West Coast, especially in California, but Oregon as well, and in Washington State, I suspect as well, that this, it gives you kind of like temporary, if your house is in the middle of a hellacious fire that burns through everything, it's not going to stop it. But in a lot of cases, they say you just need to have it protected for a few hours as the fire like races past you or over you rather than through you. And so they have this one example in the Calder fire. There was a cabin that was wrapped this way, and it survived. Now, it's no guarantee, but I was just saying, if you got now, and a lot of these, they reference it as cabins. It's a lot of hassle. It's not like, oh, I can just, every time I, leave the cabin, I'll just wrap it up. They say it takes 5 to 6 hours, and you need 5 or 6 people helping you do it, and thousands of staples. So it's not like you would just do this as a general precaution. But if you have a fire on the horizon, and you want to protect, if you have like a $750,000 home, and you could protect it by shelling out a few thousand dollars, I think that would be well worth it. You see, so many people's lives are devastated when they lose their home. I don't know how practical it is because you need to have a team to do it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just think this is a, it's a fantastic option.
Well, out here in the Clum in Freedom, that if you're going to build a house and it's going to have wood on the exterior, you have a couple of choices. One, you have to remove any tree and any branch that's within 15 feet of the branches. Plus, the trees must be removed from the home. Don't quote me on these numbers. Plus, you have to have a fire system inside the house. That makes sense. And the outside of the house must be coated in this extremely expensive fire retardant that goes over all the wood on the outside of the house. It's really expensive.
Is it? Okay.
Really expensive. But you have to have it in order to have the county come by and give you the A-OK on your building permit.
Wow. Well, you don't have that for your place, do
this
you?
Thing, no. This thing's already built. There's no permit on this place.
I see. So
this
place is
already here.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's how, because I always tell you, if there's a system, people will get around it. You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
You build the house, and what you do is the person comes by with about 15 or 25 of these empty containers, and they put them all around the property. So when the county comes in to test to make sure that the structure has the flame retardant on it, they see all of the empty containers everywhere, and they assume it's on there, so they check it off.
Really? Is that your hunch, or is that what you've been told? Because I can't believe that a self-respecting fire inspector would not at least go up and test one stretch of it.
What do you mean, test
it? How dumb do you think fire inspectors are?
That's not fire inspectors. It's the county. The county comes by, and the guy stands there and he goes, you got the fire retardant on there? And they like they look around. There's all these empty. Oh, they must have put it on. Yep.
I see. Okay. So then he could just throw a match at your cabin and everything would be fine.
I don't know. Tom, this place built already. What's happening to this place?
Is bill of ants, goods, John.
I got weird bugs eating this thing. And I asked somebody, how do I stop these weird bugs? And the guy's like, well, the bugs are eating it because they like the wood because the wood is rotting. I said, well, how do I stop that? The guy goes, I don't know. I can just tell you how to stop the bugs.
Well, there you go. How do you stop the bugs?
That's not the problem. The problem is it's why the bugs are eating it. Stop the rot first, and then you stop the bugs.
There you go.
I sprayed the hell out of those bugs. Oh, my God. All right.
Should have saved it for the fire retardant.
Tom, it's not on my house. It's not on mine. Jeez, I share this with you. All right, Tracy Taylor, looking at traffic for us.